This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, it's a place each week to get the inside look at all things UAB. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is presented by Pearl River Resorts. Want to get away? Go to pearlriverresort.com to learn more. The Inferno with Trent Ilfer, Andy Kennedy, and Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director, right here, wherever you get your favorite podcast. This week in Blazer Athletics, a lot going on for the green and gold. What's going on?
Well, the summer's over, Tony. Yes. And what you got now is you got all of our teams starting to trickle back in, right? Football's been here practicing for a little more than a week. Our basketball teams, men's and women's, they've been pretty much practicing all summer, so now they take about a week off and then come back and get immediately back at it. Both of our soccer teams are here. Volleyball just cranked back up. In fact, both soccer teams had exhibition games this week to start getting ready for the season. So they play games here very, very quickly. And so, yeah, all those things are happening. We're preparing, you know, we start to do some dry runs at the stadium, music, sound, video, make sure these things are choreographed properly so that we're ready for kickoff, which is, as we're airing this show, 3 weeks from today.
Make sure Slaughter sounds good at a 12.
Yeah. Right. Always get your Def Leppard and your Slaughter right at 12. And then we have Football Fan Fest, which is fun. We did it for the first time last year with Coach Dilfer. We're going to do it again this year. That is next Saturday, the 17th.
And what is exactly included in that?
What 1 o'clock. So first of all, it's free, right? So bring your kids, bring your families. It's fun. We do it in Legacy Pavilion right there at our practice facility. We'll have all of our players out there signing autographs, taking pictures. We have inflatables for the kids.
By the way, that practice facility is
it's still
awesome.
Great.
I know so many people that drive by it down the interstate all day long, but they've never actually gone into it. If you get a chance to go down there and check it out, what a great opportunity on the 17th.
Yeah, we just had some really good friends from Under Armour come in, three from Baltimore, one from Atlanta, showing all of our coaches the new latest gear, what they'll be ordering for the next season. And they made a comment about it, too. Like, these guys, you know, they're coming down to the Alabama Heat from Baltimore, and they're like, oh, my gosh. They thought it was going to be so hot. Look, it's hot. But they thought it was going to be unbearable. But then they go in that pavilion, they thought, there's no air conditioning. Yeah, there's not, but you don't need any. It's like being under that umbrella at the beach. It's really comfortable. It's warm, but it's not hot.
Pretty sweet office there for
really
the coach,
great.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the corner.
All the coaches
too.
Have a view of the field. Yeah, it's really great. But the Fan Fest, 1 o'clock on the 17th of August. Come out, meet the players. Look, Jacob Zeno is going to be playing on Sundays, and we've got a lot of other guys that are going to be doing that too. And so getting a picture, you know, with those guys means a lot. And, of course, Coach Dilfer and his whole staff will be there too.
Along with 36 other guys named as a Davey O'Brien Award watch list winner. So we'll look forward to seeing Jacob Zeno fling that football. You mentioned during the Inferno as well about a new hire you made this past week.
We did. We just hired Taylor Smart as our new head softball coach.
Awesome.
Yeah, Taylor is really high energy. I can't wait to get her on the show. She's born and raised in Troy, Alabama, played at Troy. Her dad was a longtime baseball coach at Troy. She's got a brother who's a baseball coach in college. It's really in her DNA. And she most recently went to Florida Atlantic as an assistant, the assistant head coach. They won our conference championship this past year. We're bringing her home to be our head coach, and she's got great relationships. I mean, heck, she recruited everybody that's on our team. You know, and all the kids that are coming out of high school and transferring to our team, she recruited them also.
Wow.
So she walks in the door with a relationship with the players already, which
That's
is
awesome.
Really nice. And their families, they know her a little bit too. And that was evident in talking to her. And again, she's got a real infectious energy about her. Eager to get started, eager to be part of the Blazer family. I think she'll do a terrific job.
That is this week in Blazer Athletics.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to The Inferno.
You got it.
Yes. Today's episode brought to you by Legacy Credit Union. Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB. Along with Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. He used to do a little show called the UAB Director's Chair. Yep. You can still hear those. The best of shows wherever you get your favorite podcast. And, of course, on the Tony Curry Radio platform. And Mr. Trent Dilfer, Coach. How you doing, brother? To your first Inferno. Are you hot? Do you feel it?
I'm nervous.
You should.
I've never done well in front of big crowds.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have interviewed about a million different individuals, everyone from Madonna to Bruce Springsteen to Trent Dilfer. And it's interesting how some people are much more comfortable around really large crowds as opposed to smaller ones. What do you like?
I'm probably a bigger crowd guy. You know, I'm used to being in front of a team or larger audiences. I think sometimes, like at dinner parties, my wife always makes fun of me because I find the corner. I don't like anybody behind me.
Yeah.
So I kind of find the corner and find my 3 to 4 friends and do that instead of mingling and walking throughout. So
do you work a room though? I mean, because like when I've seen Mark do this because he's got to be down on the field a lot so when you're working a crowd, you want the crowd to like you before you actually get up and start speaking, whether it's a quarterback club or anything else. And so I always make it a point to stop at every table, shake some hands, let people know who I am, so at least they think I'm a friendly guy. So maybe because they at least they'll laugh at your stuff.
I can be better at it. Smiling a lot helps.
Yeah,
you know, it just kind of creates this something's. Positive, something's good. What's he gonna say? No, I don't know, but he's smiling, so maybe it's good news.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Well, welcome into the Inferno, my man.
Thank you.
Let it loose. We want to have fun with this. We've been doing the UAB Director's Chill for what,
two and a half years.
Yeah. And again, if you've listened to any of those shows, you know we talk about music, which we'll do here. We talk about friends. We talk about family. We talk about.
Do you guys already forget you had me on?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
But we realize that, but we have a lot of people listening out there that aren't familiar with what this show is all about.
I want to know is if did my episode make the best of?
We need a best of episode.
I'm going to go back and look for that.
Yeah. You know what? After two episodes of having you on, I think we'll have enough material to do a best of show for sure. All right, so August 29th, big ball game against Alcorn State, Protective Stadium. Of course, a lot of people excited for the football season. As we record this, we're 3 weeks away. And just looking at it from 30,000 feet, obviously offense, hell of a lot of fun to watch. Zeno is obviously going to have another monster year. He's up for the Davey O'Brien Award. But at the same time, a defense that is lacking a little bit, a buck 30 as far as in defensive prowess when you're talking about points per ball game. But you
hey, Tony,
also,
don't,
that was a softball. Don't
sugarcoat it, Tony. Just tell him what you think.
But you've also done a pretty nice job going into that transfer portal and trying to fill some holes. We used to do, before the transfer portal was known as a transfer portal, we used to do what, JUCO, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got those JUCO players. Is that the kind of the same thing?
It's very similar. You get probably a better coached player now than you would out of JUCO. You get a kid typically that is been to a higher institution, had better academic demands put on them, probably better social demands put on them. So more mature. In our building, we talk about recruiting men or recruiting children. And you're going to recruit both, right? But you're recruiting a child, you know you got to raise that child in your program. Recruit a man, somebody else raised that child, whether it be Georgia Tech or Auburn or Indiana or somebody else. So you get a more mature player. We stunk on defense. We owned it, though. You know, I think the best thing we did as a staff was we had a come-to-Jesus project that I put everybody on where we evaluated each other. And the offense took a deep dive into our defense. Our defense did a deep dive into our offense. And we got in front of one another and said, this is what you're not very good at. You know, this is what you need to fix. And instead of getting defensive, we all ate it. Like, every single one of us just sat there and, oh, this hurts. Oh, God, you're right. Like, but thank you. You know, thank you for pointing out our weaknesses. Well, now we did that. Let's go address it. You know, and we really addressed the defensive line and the safety position mainly. We did need one inside linebacker. We felt like we got somebody we never should have got because he had a shoulder injury in OC Brothers. But we were able to get him because he was still rehabbing a pretty serious shoulder. But we addressed those needs, and we're a lot better on paper. And I think when people ask me, like, how's the season going to be? And my family's asking me, my daughters are like, Dad, are we going to be good? And I'm like, I mean, on paper, we're much better. And I love the culture of the team. I like the kids. And I like the coaches. And we're better in every area on paper. Now, come August 29th, And every week following that, we got to prove that we're better. And that's really the mindset of our team right now as we're getting ready for the season.
So to get back to this portal thing, to portal or not to portal, you used to go JUCO when you had to.
And you still do, right?
Yeah, we still. Yeah, we have some really good juniors. In fact, Eddie Towsom, who's we got a steal out of Texas, is a big-time JUCO player and is going to help us hopefully win football games.
So you got some big-time guys. But yeah. I guess my question was, do you look forward every single year, okay, this is something, this is a platform that we have to look at, or do you fill your needs out of your cupboard first and say, okay, these are the holes we need to fill, now we're going to transfer? Because some coaches, and I use Dabo Swinney as one of those prime examples. My son goes to Clemson. He lost four games last year. Hates the transfer portal. And people are like, dude, you got to go into the transfer portal and fill some spots. Where do you go with that?
Well, I respect Dabo. Why he's doing it, because recently he gave his why, I think his why was very wise and very sound. And if I was Dabo Swinney, I may do the same thing. I don't know that, but we're not Clemson. I'm not Dabo Swinney. And he's had years and years and years of building. You know, have you ever looked at a foundation? You have footers. Everybody thinks foundation is a slab, but there's footers. That's the most important part. Then there's the wall, and then there's actual foundation. Well, he has the footers in place. He's got the wall in place. He's got the foundation in place. He's built a mansion already on top of it. So he's putting up new kitchen appliances. You know, he's putting new decorating tools on his program. We're still putting the footers in.
Yeah.
And when you're putting the footers in, you're looking for our kind of guys. You know, we call them ODs, our dudes. And it's harder to find that. It's harder to vet that in high school. Now, we feel like we signed 18 high school kids. We feel like they're all ODs. But the 21 portal guys, now you get to vet them a little bit more. Now you get to know them. Now you have people that know them. You be able to talk to coaches. The one weird thing with the portal, I think people should know, is we call each other. Because once they're in the portal, they're no longer ours.
Yeah.
So if somebody, even in conference, somebody will, it's crazy. I get a call from somebody in conference saying, hey, so-and-so's in the portal. What do you think? I'm like, I can lie to you. Tell him you should totally take this guy.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there's like this honesty amongst coaches in the portal. So you get to, especially when they're from out-of-conference opponents or people we have relational equity with, you know, Tom Allen at Indiana. Right? Yeah. Like, this is a guy we've known forever. Cole Peterson, our DFO, was raised by him, basically. When Tom says, hey, LD Cox, like, that's a game wrecker in your conference. And here's his negatives, you know, here's the things that have hurt him, and here's the really good qualities about him, and here's how to coach him, here's where he fits best, here's how where he's had the most success. Oh, by the way, you want some practice film? I mean, like, so you get a lot of information about these kids, and in the portal. So it's a both-and proposition. I think, you know, everybody's asked me, what are you going to be? You're going to be 60-40, you're going to be 70-30, you're going to be 40-60. I'm like, I don't know. Like, we'll see at the end of the year where we're at, what our needs are as a football team, positional depth and years, right? You kind of got to balance out your room a little bit. I'm also not a believer, and some people roll their eyes at this, I don't think you're looking for the 85 best football players on scholarship. I think you're looking for the 85 best people that fit your ability to win.
They come.
Now, you're going to want some really good football players. Right? I'd say upwards of 75, 78. 70. But I do think there's some spots where you want real good quality depth. You want good locker room guys. You want some guys that are going to make the room better. They're selfless. They might be, they're innings eaters, and they know it. You know, here's a guy who can go practice a lot in practice and give the other side of the ball really good looks. But he's not going to have a high expectation to play on anything but special teams. Like, he just wants to be a great special teams player and then eat up innings during practice. So you're building a football team. You're not trying to make every – you know, I've never seen a linebacker room play another linebacker room. If you have, let me know. I'd love to see that competition. We're playing football team versus football team, and my challenge is to put together the best football team, not the room that has the most stars in or that the – fan base thinks is the best, and so they can pound their chest and be like, oh, our quarterback room is better than your quarterback room. Frankly, I don't want my fifth quarterback thinking he should be getting reps.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
My fifth quarterback should be developing, right, and learning how to be a pro and supporting his team and quizzing his teammates and, you know, going in on a Tuesday and be like, yo, I built you a sheet for your study habits so you can be more prepared this week. And that's how you build a football team. Mm-hmm. And I think the portal allows you to do that more than just a bunch of young bucks that every year they get older, they're a little more entitled.
Yep.
You know, oh, now it's my time because I've been here a long time. No, you'd be the best player to play. Yeah, Pearl River Resort brings us the Inferno, the inaugural of the Inferno right here. And so happy to have, of course, Mark Ingram, part of the UAB Director's Chair on Tony Curry Radio, and, of course, Trent Dilfer, coach of the UAB Blazers.
And he's been to Pearl River Resort. You've been there. It's pretty awesome.
We got to do a show from down there.
Dancing Rabbit now? Come on now, people. Yeah, if you haven't seen Dancing Rabbit, go play the 36 holes.
We have got to get down there and certainly do a show. You mentioned your quarterback play. I was good friends with Mike Leach before his passing, and just a great guy. I had him on every week on my show, regardless of whether it was football season or not. And he would tell you, I'm going to throw the ball 63 times tomorrow. And, I mean, he would know almost to the point where he was going to throw the football. You obviously have a quarterback who said, why would I not love the situation I'm in? Because I can fling it around 50 or 55 times. We're talking about a guy who had over 70% completion rate, and of course, 279 completions last year, which was a record by a quarterback for UAB. But just talk about his skill set. Normally, when you're flinging the ball like that, you're not completing 70% of your passes. But just talk about him as your leader in this football team and how excited you are to have him back.
I think there's a lot of elements to this. Number one, we're lucky to have him. I had familiarity with him. I coached him at the Elite 11. And loved him back when he was in high school. Went to Baylor, actually had some time at Baylor, did a good job. For whatever reason, he didn't stay, comes here, and went through some tough times. And that's what the number one thing I loved, and I knew we had our guy early before he threw many footballs, was when I sat down with him and talked to him about his journey here and what went wrong, what went right, what was fair, unfair, but most importantly, what has he done with it? How has he handled it? And when he owned that he was kind of a child at first and didn't handle things real well, when he admitted to me, I mean, face-to-face, nobody else in the room, I messed this up, I messed that up, I wasn't good here, I could have handled that better. And then the last year, he plays those four games, and he was much better than the other guy. And in my opinion, should have been playing. And then when he didn't, but he was a good teammate. You know, and you talk to his teammates and they're like, no, he handled it well. Like early on he didn't, but like towards the back half of the year, he really became a pro. I remember watching him in bowl prep because, you know, BV and I were sharing an office at the time and they'd go down to practice and I'd step in the office or in the balcony and watch. And I would watch him and great teammate, encouraging the starter, taking every rep like it was a Super Bowl week prep, really handled himself well. So I knew I had the right kind of guy. Now it was the skill set. You know, did he have enough of the skill set to run the offense that Alex Mortensen and I had envisioned? And very quickly we learned now he's a very good athlete. He's very accurate and can take on a lot of information. And that's three more things than a lot of college quarterbacks have, right? Yep. And we said, okay, we can build around this. So his success he had last year, largely due to him, but was also in a developmental year. Like when we had the losing record and it was like, okay, maybe a bowl game, but we're going to have to play a lot better. And right now there's no signs we're going to play better on defense. Some of this was, okay, well, let's make sure the quarterback is right. And let's make sure he's still developing and playing his best football at the end of the year so he can have a really good offseason. So Jacob's answered the bell every time it's been rung. And then we get into the portal period. And as I saw this thing... Here's what I saw. I saw early on what these guys were getting offered in the market, and I knew how much better Jacob was. So I called him on the phone. I'm like, hey, man.
You called who?
I called Jacob on the phone, and I said, listen, man, you're going to get offered a ton of money, and you'd be crazy not to at least explore it. Like, I'd be a bad friend, bad mentor to tell you to not go look at this. No, I'm back. I'm like, Jacob, just trust me. Just listen, right? Yeah. And by the way, everybody's tampering, so... But so he gets hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, I know for a fact he had a $400,000 offer.
Really? Wow.
And for him to come back, you know, brush that off and come back for a fraction of that speaks a lot to his character, speaks to what he thinks this team can be. It was humbling to Alex and I because he said, you know, I want to be coached by you guys. I don't want to go somewhere and be coached by somebody else that can't teach me the things I need to learn. And he goes, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet on you guys. I'm going to bet on this team. And I think that spoke volumes for our football team. You know, the entire team kind of stepped back and went, whoa, okay, that's big time. And so I think that's why we had very few guys leave.
Well, the wise decision there, and you just said it, is how He probably looked at how many people you and Alex have coached that are in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he wants to have a great year here, and that helped him take that other
and
next
won a Super
step,
Bowl
right?
too. Yeah,
yeah, not so bad. So really smart on his part.
You know, it's interesting too because Ohio State. I don't know why they had to do this. Maybe they'll have to self-report this, but they announced that they paid $20 million to their football team last year, so I can only imagine it's going to go up this year. Are you even kind of surprised about the kind of money that's being thrown around? I didn't see this hat come. I thought maybe two or three guys per team. Obviously, the best guys are up for Heisman trophies or Davey O'Brien awards. I get that, but now we're seeing you know second, third string guys getting $20,000 just to sign. I mean, are you surprised by this?
I don't know if I'd say surprised. I'm disappointed. You know that it's become this. I think that. When you have free agency without boundaries, the market is going to demand this. When you have emotion over reason making decisions, the market's going to demand this. When you have programs succumbing to the boosters, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have
this. And that's always been a problem, right?
Yes. So, you know, I think it was a lack of foresight by people, I don't want to call any specific person, people out, but people to not think that this would happen. You know what I mean? You're going to have unrestricted free agency twice a year. Mm-hmm. Like let's remember this. It's not once a year. Mm-hmm. It's twice a year. You're going to have emotion trumping reason, and you're going to have departments that are caving to the people that are funding those departments because let's you and this does not relate to us, so I'm not calling Mark out or UAB. This we don't live in this world, right? Yeah. This is a totally different world than we live in. But you have a person owns a company, and that company is a title sponsor of, say, the stadium, or let's say whatever car dealership is a big sponsor mm-hmm. of a podcast mm-hmm. or is a Learfield donor or whatever it is. Well, then that owner also says, well, I'm also going to pay this kid that money, and then he's going to play.
Right.
So you put the coach in a very difficult position between that person with the money who thinks he has a lot of power and actually does have a lot of power and his boss, the athletic director, and then that boss's boss, the president. So there's these weird relationship dynamics that are going on with the money as well, and it's putting a lot of pressure on these Power Five head coaches because they don't want to pay Johnny from Topeka, you know, $500,000 to be a backup
mm-hmm.
because he knows it's going to add a weird dynamic to his program because Sam from Alabaster is actually a better player and he's only making $25,000. Every coach is dealing with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for the donors that give to it.
Yeah.
So to your question, $20 million on that and you don't win the national championship yes. and you don't win a conference championship, how does that feel?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
So when Ryan? I was at Lipscomb, I'll give you a great story about this. I won't use the name. It'd be unfair to him. But I had a Power Five head coach sit at my desk and say, and he makes a lot of millions, more than $6 million.
Okay.
That way you can't decide who it is. He looks at me and he goes, and Joey was in the room when this happened. He goes, I'll trade with you right now. I'm a high school football coach in Middle Tennessee. Because I'll trade right now. You have my salary. You have my job. You have everything. I'll trade with you right now. You're getting to coach. You're getting to develop. You're getting to plan a roster over years because you know who your 8th graders are. You know who your 9th graders are. You know who your 10th graders are. So you can plan not just this year's success, but next year's success, the year after. Like, you're actually doing what I signed up to do when I did this. He goes, I'm at practice, and I'm watching a helicopter land on an opposite field, and the guy that comes out of that helicopter meets me at half field. I'm coaching. I'm in the middle of practice getting ready for a game, yelling at me because the third string running back isn't getting reps that he's paying $1 million. That happened in my office at Lipscomb. And I'm like, okay, now I get it. Like, that was my first, like, these guys are – they're stuck in a very weird deal right now, and they have to get on camera and they have to say, oh, this is great. We're trying to win football games, and our community's behind this thing, and this is great. And inside, their teams are just imploding in the locker room because of this amount of money. And I'll say this. I know I give these long answers, so you ask me to be on it. You're going to get the
deal
for answer.
Let's do it. Let's go.
This I learned early in the NFL, and it has never not held true. Money makes you more of what you were before you got it.
There you go. Yeah.
Money will make you more of what you were before you got it. So I'm a 19-year-old that gets high a lot, that plays a lot of video games, doesn't have a great work ethic, but I'm a freak athlete. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to give that kid money. He's going to get high more. Mm-hmm. He's going to play more video games, and he's going to get lazier, and he's going to trust his athleticism more. That's like the death sentence for a football coach.
There you go.
That's the last thing we want.
Yeah.
The last thing we want is for a kid to do more of what he was doing before he got it, because we're trying to change those habits. Now, that's why, you know, even as a rookie salary pool has gone up in NFL football, you're seeing more issues with first-year contract players. In my day, you never saw a first-year contract player get in trouble. Why?
Yeah.
If he got in trouble, he wasn't getting the second contract. It was all about getting to the second contract, because you had to earn the second contract.
Yeah, always making money.
The rookie contract was not that significant. That second deal, you're a millionaire. You have generational money. So you didn't see the young bucks going in doing stupid things. Why? Yeah. They didn't have enough. They were so scared of not getting the second contract. So there's so many dynamics going here that are crazy, that are making it very difficult.
You know, I had started my job at Temple 12 years ago. And my first week on the job, I go and meet with the basketball coach, Fran Dunphy, who's an awesome guy. And he's got this framed letter on the wall. And I don't know, he was doing something. I was kind of looking at it. He goes, "You know what that is?" And I said, "No, I'm reading it." He said, "I make every single player," he said, however long he'd been a head coach, 25 years or something. He goes, "Every player I've ever had, I make them write a one-page essay. What will I be doing when I'm 40? And he said that, he says, "Mark, do you know that every single letter, all of them, started?" He goes, read the very first line, and it says, and I said, "Dear coach, after I finish my professional career," he goes, "Hey, I'm telling you, the guy all the way at the end of the bench, every single player I've ever had says that." And I said, "Well, what do you make of that?" And he goes, "I love it." And I said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "Because they're hungry to try." Mm-hmm. They're trying to get there. Even if they can't get there, even if he knows that they can't really, based on their ability, get there, but their want to get there, their drive to get there, push them, push the guy in front of them, push the guy in front, right? And so there is something to that, the hunger factor, that you don't want to lose. And I'm afraid, to your point, if you're paying everybody all this money up front, what do you?
Well,
what do I have to go get?
If he said after I leave the night manager job at Publix that evening, I'll get back to you.
Right.
Probably would be looking for another quarterback.
Well, I'll give you one. We have some. Again, I'll not use names. We have two conference opponents that are very well funded with NIL. They have players on their teams right now making significantly more than position coaches.
Oh yeah, I mean we've seen that. We talked about that
dynamic in
college. You've got a lot of quarterbacks right now in college football.
No, I'm not talking quarterbacks.
No, I know, but you got more college football making more than a head coach.
Yeah,
you got making more than a head coach.
You got defensive linemen in our conference making more than their defensive line coach.
There are six college quarterbacks right now.
Okay,
making
so
more
to
than
that
coach.
Point, and I won't name names either. So I was talking to an AD in a Power Four conference last week. Getting a reference on a softball coach we just hired, which is great, by the way. I'm excited about that. But he was at another school. He says, "I'm really close with a guy that plays defensive line in the NFL. This is a multi-time all-pro guy." He said, "I just signed this monster contract." It was his second or maybe third contract. He said, "The town," so I won't again say the team. He said, "Do you know what his true market value is in his town?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. It's got to be pretty good." He goes, "He's a defensive tackle, Mark. It's nothing." Yeah. And he said, "Now, he is worth a lot to the team, which is why the team is paying him. They know what it is. But in terms of true marketability around town on billboards and whatever," he's like, "it's nothing." He literally has a shoe deal that gets him free shoes, and that's kind of it.
Pearl River Resort brings us, of course, the Inferno every single week. He is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director, and Trent Dilfer, the head coach of the UAB Blazers. Today's Coach's Corner. We have different names for different things we're doing this show, so just we're just going to feel through it.
He's a
coach.
He's
brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. He knows money makes the world go around, so he's all about it.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
There is something I want to get into that broke this past week that happened in high school that is a little uncomfortable. It'll be our hot topic. We'll get into that in just a second. I did want to ask you about the Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Earlier, before we did this show today, he has given a 4-year show cause, and basically because he took off and went to the National Football League, he basically is untouched. Nothing will happen to him unless someone wants to hire him in college before 2028, August of 2028. So for the most part, he's untouched. Is that fair, the way he kind of came in and obviously twisted, turned things upside down? He didn't want his situation along with Michigan, so they settled opposite. So that's why you're just hearing about the Jim Harbaugh situation. Could you talk about that a little bit?
I don't know a lot about it. Let me be honest with you. I used to talk about things I didn't know a lot about. That got me in a lot of trouble. Now I try to talk about things I only feel like I know it. Fair amount about. So I did not follow the whole
deal. Impermissible contact is what they're hitting him with
during the pandemic.
I have not read anything. I mean, okay. I'll talk about anything.
Let's not
even talk about Jim Harbaugh. Let's just say any coach in this particular case that comes in, throws a wrench into the things and then. Is that the back door with a $10 million deal? And is not being disciplined at all.
Well, what you have an issue with, and you were in the NFL for a long time, and I haven't been, but if there's not a lot of cheating, apparently, it doesn't appear to be in the NFL.
Well, you get caught. You have an entire.
There's video cameras everywhere.
There's that. Right? And when you have a whole Park Avenue team that can be deployed to go investigate a tampering charge between the Dolphins and the Bears.
And now there's this army
of
people.
On your
campus.
Yes. It's like if you had the IRS audit the athletic department, they're going to
bring
in
3-4 straight weeks.
Yes, it's going to be an army that comes in and opens
meet with
every
cabinet,
go through every hard drive, have meetings with everybody. That's how Park Avenue does it,
right? Yeah. And then they're done, and they go, "This is what it is."
So you're scared to death.
So you're talking about now this issue, whether Jim did whatever he did, I don't know. To your point, I don't know. It was 4 years ago. That's the problem with our enforcement situation. Nobody thinks that. It matters that much because, by the time they figure this out, if they even figure it out, man, we'll all be so long gone, it won't matter.
Yeah. There's that, and I'll say this, too. You know, I'm new to this. You know, I'm new to college football. Now, I'm not really as new as everybody thinks I am because I was doing the Elite 11 for so long and dealing with all these coaches. But there is the everybody cheats mentality, you know, which is very common. Mark's probably dealt with it everywhere
he's
ever been.
You're not trying. I mean,
everybody is stretching the rules. Everybody's having impermissible contact. Everybody's doing this. And it comes up in our building. I'm like, we're not everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to do these things. Well, you can't win if you don't do them. I'm like, bull crap. Like, that team's doing and they're not winning. Like, and by the way, that's not winning.
I love secondary violations.
You know,
we did 37 of those. I mean, they self-report those before, and it's just like,
But that's the way the system was built, though, Tony, is on honesty. Yeah. If you self-report, you're a lot less likely to get hit with a strong penalty. You go, hey, man, I made a mistake. I'm bringing it to your attention. Sorry.
And mistakes do happen.
Sure.
I learned that early on. Sure. And when I came here with compliance, it's like, you're just going to naturally, there's so many rules. They change the rules. It's like a moving goalpost sometimes. So you're naturally going to stumble into a misdemeanor, so to speak. And you do, you call your compliance people, you call Mark and say, this is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Here was the intent. Here's what happened. Boom. We self-report and it goes on. But we're not talking about those types of things.
I stumble on that too. Like, we'll get notification that a rule's being considered. This has been proposed. Yeah. And then I go, did that pass? Did we pass that? No, it was proposed. It got to this level. They've still got to vote. Then this other group's got to vote before. And then it'll happen next fall. Oh, we didn't. I thought we did it. Mm-hmm. No, we talked about it. You know, our league said we would be good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, but we can't do it yet. All right.
You know. The Inferno is going to be available everywhere you get your favorite podcast, on every major industry, also on the YouTube channels. And, of course, we're going to be all over the place along with Trent Dilfer. Andy Kennedy will also be part of these as long as Mark Ingram allows him to come on and do his thing. He'll be on. He's also been on the UAB Athletic Chair, the Director's Chair, too, a couple times. So he's done a fantastic job. So we'll look forward to getting him on. Before we get into some music, just a little – lathered up a little bit. I want to find where your head is. You look like a rocker. I know you are. And I certainly followed you in the National Football League for a long period of time. Something happened in high school football this past week. A video, obviously, it went viral. And when you say it's really hard to find, that's when it goes viral because everyone will find it and they're sending it all out because it's not available.
I'll help you find it.
Because there were a lot of TV stations that refrained from playing it because of the content itself. You saw something different there. I want you to tell me what you saw there, first of all, and second of all, in a general state, because you were so good at high school in that level. Just talk about how you get through to your kids and how you read a room and how some kids are different than other kids, how sometimes a swift kick in the ass is a good way to go, but sometimes it's not.
It's a delicate balance because most of us grew up in a very different culture of football coaching. You know, Mark and I grew up in a generation where you messed up and it was face-to-face. It was very confrontational, a lot of physicality, grabbing a face mask. You know, hey, listen to me, son, look me in the eyes. You know, just that generation. So you start coaching high school kids, as I did, 6 years ago, and you have to quickly realize that, one, everything's changed, and two, maybe just because we grew up that way, it doesn't make it the best way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing I think all of us old school people have to realize is just because Bear Bryant doesn't necessarily mean it's the best way to do it. So now kids will test you too, you know, and there is times when they need very stern coaching. Now, stern coaching should not be physical coaching, but they do need accountability. They need to be coached sternly. They need to understand right from wrong. They need to understand the team concepts. So there's a lot of dynamics going on. I think what you saw at Hoover, one, what we talked about before we came on is not my theory. So I heard this theory.
Yeah.
Of where it looks like he's doing something inappropriate to the player, that I had a very good football person say, no, if you look at this closely, he's trying to take his shoulder pads off of him. And what he's probably saying is you don't deserve to wear shoulder pads because you're not physical enough to be out here. And I'm not saying right or wrong. This is not Trent Dilfer's theory. This is a theory I heard that made some sense. Regardless, you know, you have to be very careful. I'll never forget, I had an incident at Lipscomb where my best player, Edwin Spillman, who's like a son to me, the Spillman boys, my family's goes, and he hit our running back like on a fly sweep in a spring practice really cheaply. And he kind of ran into me and my hands kind of shocked his chest plate. Right. And I was like, you know, even you're putting hands on a kid, even though he's like ran into you, I was like halfway protecting myself.
Yeah.
But even in the moment, I'm like, whoa. Now, Edwin didn't think anything of it. Sione, my defense coordinator, came running over to make sure because he just saw it out of the corner of his eye. But you're very conscious of these things. Like you're overly conscious of making sure that you're handling kids with care. And when you do make a mistake, you own it. Like you just own the mistake and you go on from there. And I think every high school coach is put in a very difficult situation when the high school player is the instigator.
Mm-hmm.
And now as the adult, you have to learn how to handle it in such a way that is teaching a kid the lesson, but without crossing a line.
There you go. Let's do some music brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Mm-hmm. I know that. Who's the country dude that does their I Don't Want to Be Me Till Monday? Who's that?
You're asking the wrong person about country music.
It's fantastic. Great. Anyway, we want to get into some music a little bit.
Sure,
Mark
great.
Loves, you know, if you've listened, you are aware that he picks all the music that plays during your football games, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And you also,
not pregame.
Do you understand his philosophy in that he plays dance music when the offense is out there and rock music when the defense is out there? Do you understand
that? I don't think I do understand.
Yeah, that's all intentional. I went to a Kansas City Chiefs game during one of the years we weren't playing football. And they do a great job. And so I'm at the Chiefs game with our buddy Joe Maloof, funny enough, and Chris Donahue, great friends and sponsors.
Yeah.
So we're at the game, and I just noticed that. I just noticed that when the defense was on, it was that sort of heavy, angry – it felt like angry music. Argh! And then – but when the offense was on the field between plays, they would play some up-tempo. Yeah, like this is positive, so you kind of felt good. Mm-hmm. And their fans never sat down either, by the way, which was also a lot of fun. But it kind of you kind of felt like you were on defense when they were playing defense, and then you kind of felt like you were scoring. And you got to think that there's maybe the players are hearing it a little bit. Probably not, they're not. But you know, you're all into it, and it set the mood for the game. So
no, yeah, I love that. Sometimes I'll hear something, and I'll text him right before the ball game and say, hey, how about if you want blood from AC/DC today?
Yeah, well, sometimes he'll say like, oh man, I heard that song, and I'm like, I didn't hear that, but I'm sure it played. But
yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, Van Halen fan?
Oh yeah, my wife's a huge Van Halen.
They played him as well. Sammy Hagar, of course, is doing the best of both worlds right now. He played Alpharetta. Was it last Thursday when I was supposed to go to the show and it poured down rain? They're going to be playing in Nashville in a couple weeks on the 28th. I want to go. Are you a David Lee Roth Van Halen fan?
They're playing back in Alpharetta and in Nashville the Tuesday and the Wednesday before our first game.
All right.
Well, I will not be there.
Well, I know. That's what stinks.
Well, I'll call you and let you know how it is.
Yeah, would you please?
Because exactly. I'm not playing this year.
I'm both. I don't care enough on that one to get in that argument. Now, I do have a very good golfing buddy. Very good. He'll probably listen to this. Lives in Austin, Texas. And he's also a very good guitarist. And he's gotten the chance to go on stage with Van Halen.
Oh, wow.
And he has very strong opinions of this Sammy Hagar.
Can you give us a name, man? I mean,
his name's Joe Sanders.
Oh,
he lives, yeah, he lives in Austin, Texas. Great friend. But I've seen him get in these arguments. I'm like, that's just not a hill I'm willing to die on.
No, I got plenty of other things to argue about. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I really don't. I mean, because I think they're both equally great. Because I don't think Van Halen is Van Halen without David Lee Roth to the point where they got. And I certainly don't think they're, you know, where they would have been without Sammy Hagar. First concert you ever went to?
First one, you can California too, Beach Boys, you know, because all the Giants games, you go to a Giants game, the Beach Boys would play after. This had to have been 84-ish, as 12, 13, somewhere in there. First one, like, on my own, as when I thought I was an adult, was Slaughter, Poison, Def Leppard.
Nice.
Which was, like, the greatest three. Those were, like, maybe my How three all time. I was a freshman or sophomore in college, I can't remember.
So nice. Good.
Very good. And then I got a great Def Leppard story. They come to Seattle, I'm playing for the Seahawks, and everybody knows who a big Def Leppard fan I am. To this day, if you looked at my most played songs, my big hair rock playlist is right there with my old grooves, right there with my, you know, my praise and worship music. So I'm the Hasselbacks and us are going to go, and they actually – our PR guy gets a note to Def Leppard that I'm a big fan. So they actually, before we go to the concert, shoot a little video for me. And I still have the CD to this day that they made for me and all this stuff. But we decide to wear the muscle shirt, British flag shirts, get wigs. And there's pictures of us. They're out there.
That's good.
Of Matthew Hasselbeck and I and our wives completely in costume as if we're Def Leppard groupies. And we're in our 30s and have kids. At the time, so now our kids see it. They're like, no, you did not do this when we were in like elementary school. I'm like, oh, yes, we did. And we stayed all night long and smoked cigarettes. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Just rocks our girls' world.
A band that loses its lead guitarist and then their drummer loses an arm. And they're still
getting
after
better.
It. It's like, they do. It's amazing. It really is. Man, we're going to have to do this because we're going to run out of time. I've got a Def Leppard story I have to share with you that I probably need to share with you before we actually go on the air first. Did I ever tell you that about Joe Elliott? Okay.
I don't think so.
we're going to have to have a discussion. It's super good. Best concert you ever went to?
I mean, it might have been that one. Okay. I don't know how it gets much better. Chesney was pretty good here last year. Went to that at Legacy. He's always been somebody I've really liked. I will say this, Lake Tahoe, Earth, Wind, and Fire 15 years ago.
Ooh.
So, you know, they have that pavilion in Lake Tahoe that plays right down there in the South Shore. It's an open-air pavilion. It's one that you're looking at Lake Tahoe. And Earth, Wind, and Fire before they got really old. They were old, but they weren't really old. They were unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable.
I don't know what they're doing with the band. They just played here a couple of weeks ago. Still really good.
Yeah,
they're interchangeable. Yeah. They're taking pieces out. Yeah. Cool and the Gang. I mean, the band's like 100 years old. I was telling him, I was walking down the strip in Tuscaloosa. This is about 20 years ago. And I saw the Coasters playing tonight at 7 o'clock. I thought the Coasters, smoke gets in my eyes. I'm like, no way. So it was like $10. So I spent $10. I get in there, and it's these four 21-year-old black dudes who bought the rights to the Coasters. And so they are the new Coasters. Yeah. And it was a fantastic show. It was great. They did the moves. They had the suits on. It was a fantastic show. But the dude says, yeah, we're the new Coasters. I'm like, no way.
Not even one original Coaster.
No. There you go. And finally, a concert that we'd be amazed that you were actually seen at.
Oh, gosh. I've been to Bieber twice. Because I have daughters. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, but we're talking about you, though. Not because of your daughters, because of Trent Dilfer.
I don't know if I've gone to any outside my kids that would be Barry Manilow? I haven't been seeing Barry. I listen to Barry Manilow.
Okay. Barry.
I have no problem listening to Barry Manilow. Here's a game we should play on one of the Inferno episodes.
Oh.
Is like go to your most recent playlist or just randomly scroll. Like take all songs and like go super fast on your finger and pick one.
All right.
I bet you mine's the most eclectic because you might be there. Yeah, I always say I might have met my match, but one, I like all genres.
Yeah.
Two, with the girls going, you know, all the music went through my account. So I still hold all their music. So when you raise three daughters, you're naturally going to have some very goofy stuff. And I've had the embarrassing moment where you're like in a meeting and your phone, does anybody else's phone just randomly play music every once in a while? My playlist will randomly go off and it's something like it's teeny bopper stuff or like Camp Rock when they were 12. And they're like, Coach, why do you get
from iCarly?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I got all that. I got all that on my phone.
Hey, listen, we're going to be straightforward here. Want to thank our great sponsors, Pepsi, Viva Health, and, of course, the wonderful folks at Pearl River Resort. We're doing the show not only because we think we're going to have a great time, and we hope you've enjoyed listening to it. And Trent will be on again next week, and you'll be coming up in a couple weeks. But we're talking about NIL and transfer portals. This is another way to generate funds. So we're giving this show for free. It doesn't cost you anything to listen to it. Yep. There are a lot of colleges who are doing shows like this. They're making their fan base pay to listen to these shows. We'll never do that here at UAB. So make sure you take care of our sponsors. Make sure that you spend money with our sponsors, and that money goes back into potentially having some of our college football, basketball, volleyball, archery players actually earn some cash too. So great stuff. Good show, guys.
Thanks for
having us. Appreciate you. This is the Inferno. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, it's a place each week to get the inside look at all things UAB. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is presented by Pearl River Resorts. Want to get away? Go to pearlriverresort.com to learn more.